This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory,
oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Levin Miller, that's who it is. Thank you so much for being with me. Thank you so much for having me in your company. Welcome to Friday, the last Friday before Times Day, right? So for all of you that cannot celebrate Valentine's Day, I wish you a wonderful Times Day. That is the day when you kind of just make excuses for not being able to participate in Valentine's, right? So to those of you out there that are like that, happy Valentine's Day to you. For those of you out there that are going to be buying the balloons and the flowers and the baskets and all that other stuff, happy Valentine's Day to you, right? All right, that's now that I've gotten that out of the way, let me say this, right? I want to talk a bit. My numbers this morning are 323-623-32325-4316 and 325-4259. You can text me 4224796, right? I don't know where we are. I don't know where we are as we approach 2022. The Prime Minister suggested that is when an election has to officially be called, right? But I was sitting down thinking about this show today, as I planned the show for today, and I do not really know where the engaged or the involved voter finds himself. I mean, outside of the people that are just rabid supporters of political organizations, where do the people that have issues at the fore of their mind, where do they find themselves right now going into the election cycle that is 2022 officially, but that I believe will be around the 20th, 26th, thereabout of August 2021, right? You know, so let me give you a little bit of history about who I am. Right? Like, I recall being a primary school boy. It was about 1997. I would have been in Carlton, Francis. I can actually almost remember the day, right, that we sat in school, and school was still in, and I remember talking about the possibilities that Mr. Ingram would, in fact, regain the government, although I believe Mr. Pinling had done a pretty decent job, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know where I got that information as a 9-10-year-old at the time. But I know that I had come from a family that had seen great prosperity under the Ingram administration, and whatever that was worth, that shaped my mind, my consciousness, in a way that made me believe that the Free National Movement was, in fact, better in an administration, right? As many of you know, I come from a family that is rooted in the public transportation industry. Many of the people in my family that are members of that industry were able to get into the industry as a result of the policy directly made by the Free National Movement. Many people will argue today that it didn't turn out well. I'm going to say that I do not have complaints that are untenable with the industry. What I will say is, I then moved on to the election of 2002. All right. And you would recall then that Hubert Ingham kind of bestowed leadership on Tommy Turnquest and Dion Folks, yeah. And that didn't really sit well. It didn't appease the palate of the electorate. You know, at that time, if I recall correctly, everyone had thought in the back of their mind that Algernon S. P. B. Allen should have been the next man in line, right? And I remember there was the rally by Mr. Allen, one of the largest, most attended rallies by any individual that I can still recall to date. It was at Marathon Park, right? Marathon was an area that was synonymous with Algernon Allen at that time, and he was actually known or dubbed the Marathon Man. So I remember the excitement around the election of 2022, and of course, the Free National Movement was in fact rejected, and the Progressive Liberal Party came to be the government. Then there was the excitement and the involvement. It was actually that election when people of the likes of Atanya McCartney reinvigorated or ignited or rekindled or excited me in a way that got me even more involved in wanting to follow politics, wanting to be a part of political processes, wanting to know politics, wanting to be engaged, right? And people of the likes of Atanya McCartney, they came to the fore. Unfortunately, they didn't have what it take to win the race, right? And then 2007 came, and of course, there was the re-emergence of Hubert Alexander Ingram, and that brought people a level of confidence after we had seen what had happened with Christie in 02. We were kind of unsure about whether or not Christie had the wherewithal to lead a government, particularly a government of big names. So we kind of felt comfortable knowing that Mr. Ingram had come back, because if you recall, Mr. Ingram had retired in 2002, and that was the reason he didn't go for a third consecutive election, because he had actually built a lot of his political, I guess, trajectory on. There was no need for a man to have so much time in the office of prime minister. Of course, he changed his mind, came back in 2007, and we saw the return of Hubert Alexander Ingram in what was rock star fashion, right? And there were people like myself who believed in the direction of Mr. Ingram, that believed in the firmness of Mr. Ingram, that believed in the no-nonsense approach of Mr. Ingram, that believed that people like Mr. Ingram should have, in fact, be the persons that were running the country. And then, of course, we saw all the things that happened, I think the sale of BTC, et cetera, et cetera. And then people kind of got afraid of Ingram, and they wondered whether or not he had too much power, and what would it be like if we had actually allowed Ingram a fourth term. And so people came to the conclusion that, you know what, we had to end the Ingram era. And so Mr. Ingram was voted out of office. And of course, by this time, Mr. Christie had made the case that, you know what, he had made missteps in office, and that now he was an older man, a wiser man, but that he was a man that was prepared also to bridge the gap towards a future generation of politicians. Needless to say, that term turned out to be so dismal that many of the promising politicians of tomorrow were whitewashed in the tsunami that was the victory of the Free National Movement in 2017. And I think what Dr. Minnis represented for us was a novice, a blank sheet, a canvas of political hopefulness, a hope in the unknown. It is the same thing that anchors many people to their Christian faith, right? And we believe that because he was so unlike all of those before him, certainly we should have expected something that was unlike anything we had ever had. Now I believe, right, to the engaged voter, to the voter that believes heavily in participatory practices in and around his politics, right? I believe that voter finds himself in a position that I can only surmise to be disillusionment, right? He has gotten something that he could not have imagined could have been as terrible as it actually turned out to be, right? And people are going to say, it's because I'm anti-menace. But I'm telling you, I am as I move about, I am finding people that I know are otherwise very heavily engaged in the process, wanting to be registered, wanting to follow the news, wanting to follow the rallies, wanting to follow what's going on in government. And those people are saying to me, Miller, I don't even know if I can go register. And if I do register, I only plan to use this voter's card as an identification. And so the question for me now is, will the election of 2022 come down to a matter of which party can get more rabid supporters to the poll, as opposed to a party or an organization trying to figure out the way in which it will lead the country that is the Commonwealth of the Bahamas into what I have dubbed the new frontier? We know that Mr. Pinling called us, I think it was in 72, to step into the new frontier because it had awaited us. I believe that we have now seen the end of that new frontier, and now we live in a world where there are new challenges for us to face. And now we need new mighty warriors. We need new people who do not shiver or shrink in the face of adversity, whose teeth do not shatter in the chilly cold of difficult times. This is now the dawn of the new frontier. And the question for me is, are the organizations present formidable enough, articulate enough, resourced enough, resolved enough to be able to erase this feeling of disillusionment? Or will we, as we colloquially say, jump out of the fire, of the frying pan, and into the fire by selecting what is known to be our alternative, which then only leads to further disillusionment? I believe that anybody that is an engaged voter, anybody that considers themselves an engaged voter, anybody that considers themselves someone that is actually interested in the process at this time, find themselves in a kerfuffle with regards to whether or not they want to be engaged in the process. I believe that this is the greatest conundrum they've found themselves in. It is a quandary. They do not know what is to be made of their political hopefulness, what is to be made of their desire to be an engaged citizen. It is like a great imbroglio of some sort, where they are unable to defend in any direction why either of the organizations that are the most prominent organizations in the country ought to be allowed to be the government. On one hand, the FNM has made a damn good case against the PLP, so good that we have not been able to erase it from our minds, that they are somehow unethical, they are somehow corrupt, and that all things associated with the PLP will somehow lead to embarrassment due to their desire to wallow in filthy lucre, right? That is the argument that the FNM has mounted against the PLP from the election of 2017, and somehow they still seem to be riding that horse all the way into 2022. If you follow social media for a half a second, you will see that for the last 2 weeks, it has been Peter Nygaard this and Peter Nygaard that and this Bamsey thing. And so they have obviously formed this perception that the boogerman of Christie, or that the boogerman of the Christie era, still looms over the Progressive Liberal Party. If this is one of my chronic callers, you can have them call me back. I'm talking a little bit now. Notwithstanding that, while we sometimes share in the view that the Progressive Liberal Party is, in fact, who the Free National Movement say they are, we are no more pacified by the fact that the Progressive Liberal Party has set the tone that this Free National Movement seems to be disjointed, disconnected, they lack synchronization, and they seem to be inept. And that is something that we are now living and seeing and experiencing right before our very eyes. We can go on with the hoo-ha until the cows come home. The fact of the matter is, it is the policies of the Free National Movement in this cycle of government that has exacerbated all of the issues surrounding Dorian and the pandemic. What do I mean? I mean, when Dorian completely ravished Abaco, there should have been a national call for workmanship, a national call to volunteerism, a national call to redevelopment of that island. There should have been almost every asset in this country guaranteed by the government of the Bahamas to be headed in the direction of North Abaco with the goal of rebuilding the country's third city. Every payloader, every person with a drill truck, every person with a steel company, all of the resources that is the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, all of the energy that is the Commonwealth of the Bahamas ought to have been in a nationalistic effort pointed towards Abaco. And in the days post the pandemic, in the days during the pandemic, the prime minister was the one with the herky-jerky lockdowns of the airport. The prime minister was the one with the unforecasted lockdowns, immediate weekend lockdowns, immediate weekday lockdowns, the lockdowns that created mass pandemonium in and around this island and country at large. So when the Progressive Liberal Party says that they are disjointed and cockeyed and that they trip over themselves and that they suffer from ineptitude, you cannot just say that claim possesses no truth. Because you look at the way that they've governed and you see people like the Minister of Labor in the newspaper saying that unemployment is down drastically while you are looking on the news and seeing people with skill, talents, like electrical installation, saying, I cannot afford to not live in my car. Where you see mothers saying that I live in my car with my children because I lost my job. And yet we have an economy where the prime minister is still pansying about whether or not he wants to add an additional hour or 2 hours to the curfew, as if we are not talking about something that directly affects people's lives. And so this cycle of election for us, I don't really know where we will find ourselves as the engaged voter, as the voter that cares about national health policy. I don't know where we will find ourselves as the voter that cares about national development. I don't know where we will find ourselves as the voter that cares about social security or as the voter that cares about public transportation reform or as the voter that cares about law enforcement reform or as the voter that cares about fundamental rights and as the voter that cares about environmental issues. It is interesting for me to see a minister of the environment get up in the House of Assembly and says that there needs to be a national discussion on our feeling about oil. There doesn't need to be a national discussion. According to what I understand, the cabinet of the Bahamas has spoken. They oppose oil drilling. That must have been a consensus position. Those men are politicians, and they must have taken that consensus from the people by whom their power is granted. And if they didn't do that, then my question is, on whose authority did they speak? Where did they get their power? Sobe? Or is the Holy Ghost power? If in fact you are saying to me that now we need to have a national conversation, then where did the men that granted the license get the power from? If not from the people that have given them power. So where is the voter? Where is the engaged voter? Where are the 40-year-olds like myself and the 35-year-olds like myself who was and still are engaged and involved mentally in politics and the goings-on of politics in and around the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? From I was a 12th grade student, one thing was for sure. I was F&M, I was in South Beach and I was for Tanya. Let me say it again. I was F&M. I was in South Beach and I was for Tanya. And I knew that as a grade 12 student. So when I came out of high school, there was no guessing whether or not I would be somebody that was going to be engaged in the political process. No. It was automatic. Yet, we have found ourselves in a country where the people that we thought were most capable to get it done have all been washed away. I remember when the names like Shivago Lang were among the names of people that we thought could lead this country in the future. I remember when the names like Obadiah Hercules Wilchcombe and the names like Michael Halkidis popped up. And we said that, you know what, maybe these boys had what it takes. Yet we find ourselves right now with a prime minister that quite honestly, I think is disconnected from his people. So much so that this prime minister, when asked about an election date, something that people in this country find important, something that he promised would be fixed, something that he suggested no prime minister ought to have the power to just wield on a whim, finds it laughable. And so does his band of merry men. I'm going to play this clip from the prime minister in Grand Bahama yesterday. When asked about when will there be an election cycle. You see, because yes, I do not want corrupt and tainted practices, sure. And I will say this, to this date, they have not been able to land a conviction of corruption on any member of the Progressive Liberal Party. So I'm telling you, that story is dying slowly. But it seems to me as though the story of ineptitude, the story of impartiality or partiality, the story of awkward governance seems to be the tenor with which this prime minister and his administration seeks to continue on with for however long they remain the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And I want to know, what does that do to the engaged voter? What does that do to the voter that is hoping that we get our first step into the new frontier correct? The Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis shrugging off questions from reporters today about the upcoming general election. While walking through McLeanstown in East Grand Bahama, Minnis was asked when more Free National Movement candidates would be ratified and if there's a snap election on the horizon.
Well, I don't know yet. I don't even know when the election.
Which is another thing.
Election is officially due in May 2022.
There's also been some talks of a snap election.
Well, I haven't heard it.
Members of the Progressive Liberal Party have speculated that Minnis may be gearing up to call an early election, though he has repeatedly said otherwise. The F&M ratified 17 candidates last week, with Minnis saying some current F&M MPs would not be given a nomination. Meanwhile,
And so there you hear the prime minister, right? I don't know when the election is. Ha 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 ha. When is the election? May 20th? Ha 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 ha. Oh, we've heard about some talks about a snap election. Oh, and I hear that. Ha, 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 ha. This is the cesspool that is the politics of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Is this not daunting? I mean, how does it make you feel when you see an administration who, according to the opposition forces, say that they are driven by oligarchic forces who have done nothing to disprove that, who make excuses to be able to cater to the oligarchy, who, when the opposition says they are inept, you wish to disbelieve the opposition. You wish to say that the opposition is just making mischief, rabble-rousing, if you wish. But then you see in this morning's paper that they're calling in experts to help them through the Grand Lucayan deal. What?
Do you mean the same Grand Lucayan deal that we are about $100 million in the hole for? The Grand Lucayan deal where we got a hotel that we couldn't rent, couldn't keep the employees for, and that the man ain't let us keep a napkin in? You mean that Grand Lucayan deal? You mean the same one that was in a special engine that had a whole board overviewing it for, what, 2 years now? And we are still at the point where experts need to... Well, where in Christ's name were the experts for the last year? And if experts weren't looking at it over the last year, then who was? So when you hear the claims of ineptitude, you have to consider that, whether or not this administration, the men and women in this administration, have proven that they know what is governance or how to do it. And unless you're a sycophant, or unless you are some well-greased fruit fly, I don't imagine how you are just so comfortable being in a position where you cannot figure out what will happen to the country that is yours over the next 40 years. Because as somebody who has a grandfather that lived to be 84 and the next one that's alive at 95, I believe I may be around this place for quite some time. And if I'm going to be around here, I'd like to have a Bahamas that's not falling apart. And that must mean that the people that we elect must take it seriously. They must be the ones that drive passion, that drive direction, that drive inspiration into a people and cause them to want to nation build. And I don't see that in this administration. And I'm telling you, looking at the candidates that I see coming out of the Progressive Liberal Party, the ones that are making the god-awful videos, I don't see that there either. And let's not get me started with the DNA. But that is where I am on it. As the engaged voter, as somebody engaged in the process, as somebody that actually thought that the nation building was largely hinged on the direction of the political directorate, where are we now? How do we feel now? 3236232324316 3254259. No, I do not want corrupt. No, I do not want scandal-ridden and tainted. But I do want competence and ability and skillfulness. Let's take the call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
And ability.
Turn your radio down and listen to me and your phone caller.
Hey, morning. How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, man. Everything's cool. Thanks. You know, they could keep on bringing in experts until they get an expert. They could tell them just give it away to a foreigner like Royal Caribbean and the rest of the country, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what they're waiting on an expert to tell them. I mean, how long has it been now? 3 years?
Yeah, March 4th, they had Junkanoo and everything all out there for RCL for the signing, and they say they're doing it in the national interest of the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're so keen on doing something in the national interest, why they don't share the deal with the nation?
I don't know. But the deal has been put into a special engine. You remember Michael Scott was in charge of the Lucayan deal and in charge of making sure that sale went through, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what was all of that about for the last 2 years?
And he was an expert?
This is my point. And if he wasn't an expert, then why didn't you call an expert to begin with?
Ain't they bringing the next expert, KPMG?
I don't know. But
yeah.
Certainly.
And they had to order. They went through and seeing how the deal is.
Certainly.
Now they're looking for a next expert.
Certainly we cannot continue.
And they're looking at giving away the airport too, right?
Well, now the government is saying that they realize they're going to have to buy the airport.
Yeah, buy it, but hold on to it. Put $100 million in it and sell it to RCL for $1.28.
But I believe the recommendation by Mr. Ingram has already been that it's time to simply buy the port. Just buy out the port and take care of the island, full stop.
Buy out the port? Look, they done bought out the Grand Lucayan. Look what they did with that.
Ah, oh, my goodness.
Foreign national movement. That's what they're dealing with.
I hope.
Yeah, I got to order my tea, man.
Thank you. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can text me, 422-4796. Let's take the call. Good morning, Carly. You're on. Carly, you there? Good morning, caller.
Morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. And this is the first time I'm talking to you, sir. I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you.
But let me just say one thing. You know, they really only want our votes, you know, that's all they want.
Yes, but we must require more.
Well, that is true, that is true. Well, we're going to have to... My goodness alive. We really are in a bind, you know.
This is the greatest... Let me tell you something. I am somebody that cannot wait to vote. Like I literally do jumping jacks while I waiting at the poll. Right? I'm one of those kind of voters, right?
Okay, sir.
And if you know me well enough, you know that I even contested in an election as an independent and walked the ground and because I love the process of politics, right?
Okay.
For the very first time in my life, I am sitting down contemplating what direction is a direction.
I have the same problem, sir.
And that is and for me, I almost feel like less than a Bahamian because I owe it to my country to be a part of the process.
That is true.
But I do not know if I see it when I look at the options available. I do not feel what I think or imagine Bahamians felt in 72 going towards 73. I do not think I feel what Bahamians felt 66 heading towards 67. You get where I'm going with this? I just don't feel like our politics is doing what politics ought to do to the lives of people.
Okay, sir. Well, now listen. I am here in Nassau, but I'm really from Abaco.
Okay.
I've been trying to get back to Abaco, but I can't. But I understand your frustration, sir. And I enjoy your show as well as I enjoy Mr. McCartney's show.
Thank you very much.
All I'm going to say is God will help us, I hope.
Let us hope. And if God don't help us, then...
We're in trouble.
Then God help us.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. And you know, it's Friday. It's the weekend before Valentine. I really would like to just come in here and talk about hugging and kissing. But, I mean, where are we? Where are we? I mean, as a Bahamian, I mean, and I'm not talking about someone that's sitting down with medical insurance paid for by the government, with a salary that you haven't mispaid for by the government, with gas that you're driving around with in a car paid for by the government, the lunch that you're probably eating today paid for by the government. I'm not talking about those people. I expect them to live in the stratosphere. But as a regular, normal, Joe Public Bahamian, look in the mirror and ask yourself, are these people appeasing my palate? Do they have what it takes to progress this nation as we said it would be progressed forward, upward, and onward? Do they have it? And if the answer to that is no, then we've got to start asking ourselves, then who has? Let's take some more calls. Good morning, Carly. You're on. Call you there.
Hey, how you doing, Miller?
Good shape.
Well, I really enjoyed your show today. Boy, usually you'd be on, but buddy, you got something extra today.
This thing got me can't sleep in the nighttime.
I feel and I hear you bashing, brother, and I kind of right there with you. The one good news I get out of that... thing from our prime minister is they're bringing in some experts because I have, like you, I have to confess, my brother, for the last 4 years, it's been amateur hour.
At the Apollo?
Yes, handling the Oban deal, amateur hour. Handling this Dorian and recovery, amateur hour.
And for people like the DRA, for people like the DRA to say, I mean, and to say it so flippantly, oh, well, we haven't constructed over 100 of the 150 domes that... Well, Jesus Christ, if you ain't built over 100 of the 150, well, how much did you build?
While at the same time, Miller, a whole community was building in the farm illegally.
Oh, my goodness. This is...
While at the same time, on the key, all the stuff running down because you overgive them the behavior.
This my point.
How much hour? And now the deputy prime minister, no, he not no more.
The deputy leader of the Free National Movement, yes.
Who attacked the media personnel. As a matter of fact, you been on one panel when the deputy leader of the party called them a jungleist something. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And these same jungleists and social media people who he attacked for a certain story, they knew that Menace cut him, but he said, you know, you don't know that Menace cut you? All you said, yeah, he get one vote, but brother, you get cut by the prime minister.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
And to have one vote don't mean that you have no influence.
And man, you like me, you like to talk, but you're grandparents. And one thing my grandma used to say, Miller, education and sense.
Mm-hmm.
And as educated as that man is, the deputy leader of the party, sometimes he sounds like he don't have sense.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know that your partner was doing some kind of unscrupulous deal.
And this your partner?
Uh-huh, this your partner, your business partner. Mm-hmm. You didn't know that. Now you're telling, you didn't know where the $42 million gone when you come into power, then you find it. Now you're telling me you don't know that minutes cut you? Well, you educated, but that don't sound like sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where we are, Carl. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you, man.
323-623-2254-316-324-259. 4224-796 is my text line. Let's take the call. Good morning, Carl. You're on. Carl, are you there? Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Lee. What are you doing, man?
I'm good.
What? Lackadaisical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, dismal.
Mm-hmm.
Awkward,
mm-hmm.
Unworthy,
mm-hmm.
Not to be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all those words I can take and describe this whole situation with that hotel that we spent more than $100 million on
mm-hmm.
so far and counting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've been asking this question for the past three years. They've been in office almost 4 years. Okay, they spent more. $5.7 billion of our money, okay? I don't know where it's gone, okay? And they're explaining, the opposition is asking them to explain something to them, and they voted not to answer the opposition. So we ain't supposed to know where our money going, but you coming back to me to ask me for to extend your job opportunity? Not a day like it.
And for you to be so bombastic.
Okay? And decent people, was running that hotel board. You fired Frederick McAlpine, but the man, and now you're returning with exploit. You must think we're stupid. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, caller. 32362. But my question is, if these fellas was in the exploits, why it take you 3 years to call the exploit? What y'all doing? Looking in the yellow pages? Ah, my goodness. Let's just take some more calls. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Yes, Mr. Miller, how are you doing?
Hey, C. Allen.
Just let me say, we take us back first to 2017, mm-hmm. transparency, accountability, integrity, anti-corruption, campaign finance, and campaign finance reform and freedom of information. That was a promise adequately made by Mr. Hubert Alexander Minnis.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we have not gotten any.
Right.
I first also want to request an apology to all the amateurs out there to actually equate them with incompetence and ineptness
mm-hmm.
on even their first try. But as I read the media, the newspaper reports, and I'm perplexed to find out where is this Grand Bahama that the Prime Minister so eloquently described with such success. If you see the pain and suffering that in New Providence of people living in cars and abandoned buildings and hungry and unemployed, I want you to multiply that by two decades of Grand Bahama. You guys are talking about less than a year. Multiply that for two decades on Grand Bahama. And the things you talk about, like for the airport, a non-existent airport from a bankrupt organization, that we have to negotiate to come to the determination of whether we should pay $1 or $2 for the airport, doesn't require an expert. Mr. Hubert Alexander Minnis happens to have been the individual, the person, his company, of which he was president, sold the hotel to the Hutchison Whampoa that came to be known as Alokaya. And he was president also at the time. And he was the one who sold the property. The record's documented. He can very easily drive by there and see, except for the middle hotel, what we call the Grand Lokaya, mm-hmm. the other two properties for which he sold them in 1997 still remains as is, where is, to the point that he sold it to them. So this doesn't take some rocket science to make a determination between 1997 now and multiple hurricanes to make a determination that even when we paid the $30 million, that we overpaid. And so the mere fact that we have spent maybe as much as $150 million maintaining a $30 million abandoned hotel at the time, and that we now need experts to determine how much of hundreds of millions of dollars in tax concessions we will give to somebody to take it off our hand, who is also looking to not only own the airport, but also own the harbor here in Grand Bahama. And so unless we actually have a conversation contextually correct concerning with the condition of Grand Bahama and the fact that it plays an important role to the economic development and recovery of the Bahamas, we will find ourselves in worse condition in a few years than we are today. And to a man that says, Mr. Hubert Alexander Minnis, I say to him, you don't know the date. You have the ability to set the minimum date. And if you are a man of your word, under transparency, accountability, and et cetera, then I invite him and the Free National Movement to set the date now for 2022, post May 10th. And we could then look to see if he fulfilled the promises that he made in 2017 and to bring about the economic development and revitalization. And so I challenge the FNMs who sit behind him and is emasculated, that shows no ovarian audacity or testicular fortitude, to gain some and demand that election date be set post May 2022, and let's bring about the promises you kept. If not, you have shown yourself to be unfit, inadequate, and incapable of governing us, and you should not be given the opportunity to sit in a hallowed hall of the parliament, you and those with you. Thank you.
Thank you, C. Allen. You know, the other thing that is quite curious to me, right, is I know how the fellas who won the ticket letting the man play with them like this, right? When you're talking about people that are in the cabinet, Michael Pintard, people that were in the cabinet, Dr. Dwayne Sands, having no nomination and not knowing when the date could be, man, I don't know if I could let you play a big man like that. You follow me? I wonder where they must be in their mind to watch somebody that has performed as a novice wield this much power. That must be scary. And I can't even imagine, like, if I were in that, no, you would have to get, Chief, you got to give me the date. I don't care who else you tell me. And make sure my name on the thing. Because when you say things like, see, the reason why this thing has been, do you realize that for the last 4 days, the only news that has been happening around here is who might get the knife? Who may be on the chopping block? And you know why? You know why? Because we play in hopscotch, man. I wonder if I may. No. Oh, there are going to be some people who are incumbents that will not be on a ticket. Well, who? Just tell us. Just tell us. Just ratify. I mean, you got 32 seats. Just ratify the ones that are being ratified and name the new people. When will the date be? Oh, I know. I mean, we are not the little fishing village that we were in 67. We are smart. Many of us have been educated. Many of us are well-read. Many of us are intuitive. And this is insulting to us, man. Can you not see that?
323-623-2325-4316. Let's take a call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Miller.
Hey, what'd you say, 52?
I like your semantics just now. I agree with everything you said. I agree with C. Allen. The PM is incompetent in the highest form. I don't see, listen to me now. See, when I hear you talk about the exploits, right? You know, I'm an out of the dark. Mm-hmm. Now, just let me give you an example. It must be remembered that Hutchison Rampour was compensated about 85 or 90 million from insurance for the damage from the hurricane, right? You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't spend a dime to refurbish or renovate, nothing, all right?
Right?
Because they know they're dealing with weaklings. And let me give you another story about exploits, my brother. Because I guess the rest of us are mindless. Most of us are mindless. Judges from how some people comment good about me, some people comment negative about me. I hear some of the jokers calling me professor. I don't profess to be no professor. What I do profess to be is a professor of the truth, all right? And let me give an example. Jessa Jones, Jessa, J-E-S-S-A Jones. She's a molecular biologist. She learned how to fix iPhones on YouTube or however she did. She's well educated. Rich people lost their iPhone drop in the toilet, and they wanted to know if they could recover all the data on it. Google said no, they could never do it. She wrote to them over and over. She up it online. They said they couldn't recover the data. This lady recovered the data. The rich lady was ecstatic. So the professionals were telling the lady they couldn't recover the data, but a lady who was a molecular biologist who studied iPhones fixed it. So I don't buy this BS. You see, a lot of people are educated, but their mind is not peripheral. Maybe some of them that smoke some grass in their younger days or meditate or have some sense, we'll have a better world. Look at where the experts are driving us in the world of hopelessness, my brother, and dystopia.
323-6232-52, I stand beside. Matter of fact, sometime next week I'm doing a show on how smart people have failed the world. Yeah, that's a show I have planned for next week. Because these smart people can't fix nothing. I am convinced it ain't smart people. I figured that out. Let us go back to the day when all we had was mother's wit and intuition, because obviously these smart people ain't good at fixing nothing much at all. I do have that show planned next week, 52, so stay tuned. Text right here says, Levin, the best opposition ever I've ever seen is the BLP. They deserve to stay in that spot because they are the worst when it comes to government. Well, the FNM, this incarnation of the FNM has possibly been the worst government I've ever lived under. But they also suck in opposition. So what exactly should we do there? Next text right here says, good day, Mr. Miller. As a Grand Bahamian, we should not rejoice just as yet over the scale of the Grand Lucayan to RCCL or in them purchasing a portion of Freeport Harbor, because RCCL is a company deeply dedicated to multinational employment, which means that unless firmly put into the agreement, Bahamians may not get the first pick at good positions in the establishment. RCCL will have three properties in this country. Seller, beware. All right, somebody here says, great show as usual. Could you do an Ingram impersonation? maybe hearing the voice of Ingram will give people hope in the country, some form of hope. Let's clone a younger Ingram and put him back in power, because Brave and Menace don't have a clue how to run the country, but that's just my 5 cents. You know, whether they have a clue or not, I don't know. What I am saying is I don't know if I feel hope is being inspired. I don't know if I feel direction is clear. I don't know if either of them cannot be considered inept, incapable, and at times incompetent. That's all I'm saying. None of them do for me what I feel had been done for me in 97 or 2002. None of them even do for me what I thought was being done in 2007. And I wonder, as an engaged voter, what does that mean for us all? Anyway, it's Friday. You know what that means. It's going to be a busy weekend. Do whatever you can in your power not to kill anybody. But more importantly, do even more in your power to ensure that nobody kills you. I'm Levin Miller. I've been unleashed on your radio. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's your station for fresh news and smart talk, so don't go anywhere. News is next.